Charlie stared inside his dented plastic pumpkin, which was filled almost to the brim with candy. His eyes skimmed over to Sneakers, Three Musketeers, and Tootsie Roll. He frowned and dipped his small hand to fish it out. The mix of chocolate, nougat, and toffee smells drifted up from the rim of the pumpkin.
"Is that a Tootsie Roll?" Michael said, peering over Charlie's shoulder. "I bet that came from Miss Rollins,"
Ever said, adjusting a Super Mario Brothers hat.
"Yeah, I don't want it. You?"
Charlie asked, motioning for one of them to take it. The boys shook their heads. There was a scream, and the boys turned to look. Two girls ran away from a house a few feet up the street, and a person dressed in a werewolf costume chased them. Charlie smirked.
"Mr. Rubin sure knows how to scare us." "Yeah, you remember last year? He almost made Ever piss his pants. Mr. Rubin had on a devil's costume then,"
Michael said and laughed. Ever shoved at Michael.
"I wasn't scared. He just took me by surprise."
"Are you sure? Are you going to be able to sit next year in his fifth grade class?"
Charlie said, winking at Michael.
"Of course, I told you, I'm not scared,"
Ever said, crossing his white-gloved hands.
"We'll see. We're going to be sitting right behind you in class, won't we, Charlie?"
Michael asked.
"Oh yeah, we'll be watching,"
Charlie said, and he tipped over Ever's hat. Ever raced after Charlie as he fixed his hat. Charlie wrapped his arms around his pumpkin and tried to outrun Ever. Michael laughed and pointed at them. Breathing hard, Ever and Charlie stopped next to Michael.
"So what's next?"
Charlie asked.
"We did all the houses," Michael said.
"We did?"
Ever said.
"We can't be done now. I want to shove my Super Mario costume some more,"
Charlie said as he modeled dramatically.
"Don't you guys want to keep going? Haluigi? Toad?"
Charlie said, addressing Michael and Ever. Ever shrugged.
"The only houses left are the ones down Oak Hill Lane," Michael said, his mole near his left eye twitching.
Charlie knew all too well that when Michael's mole twitched, he was nervous about something. Every time there was an exam, the mole would dance around, threatening to fall off at any moment.
"Oh, come on, you guys aren't scared,"
Charlie said. Ever shrugged again. Ever would give a shrug in place when he had nothing to add.
"No, we're not scared. It's just that they probably don't have any candy to give out,"
Michael said, glancing at Ever.
"How do you know that? We always skip that weird street. I think it's time we check it out,"
Charlie said.
"We skip it because there's only four houses and it ends at the wall of an expressway ramp," Michael said. "It has nothing to do with the scary stories we used to hear when we were little,"
Charlie asked, frowning.
"No, man," Michael said.
Charlie glanced at Ever and caught the end of another shrug.
"Well, come on,"
Charlie said, and he walked away, heading towards the next street. The amount of trick-or-treaters lessened as they got closer to Oak Hill Lane. Some of them even glanced at the boys.
"They like our costumes,"
Ever said, a wide smile spreading underneath his large mustache.
"They're probably wondering what we're doing," Michael mumbled. "Or they're probably thinking how brave we are. I'm pretty sure that was Vivian who walked past us,"
Charlie said.
"Vivian, really? Oh God,"
Michael said, his mole dancing again.
"Relax, man. We're here," Charlie said.
The boys stood at the shadowed mouth of the lane, two houses on each side, an expressway ramp at the end. The lights of the cars flashed overhead, and the low roar of engines bounced towards them. None of the houses had any Halloween decorations or even a proper porch light. Charlie swallowed.
"I guess we'll try this one,"
he said as he pointed towards the first house on the left.
"Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details."
Michael and Ever stood, staring at the house. Charlie didn't get a shrug from Ever this time. Charlie slowly made his way to the house and was glad to hear the shuffling feet of his friends behind him. Stepping up to the porch, Charlie raised his fist at the door and paused. He glanced back and saw his friends' pinched faces in the flickering porch light. A creak brought his attention back towards the door. Charlie peered at the bottom of the doorframe and saw a drifting shadow. His fist was still raised. He felt the urge to step back. An image of Michael and Ever laughing at him pumped him back with some courage, and he knocked. No one came to the door. Charlie glanced down to see if the shadow was there, yet there was no sign of a shadow or even the creaking sound. The door swung open with a long metal creak, and Charlie jumped back, spilling some of his candy from the pumpkin. He crouched down and began to scoop his candy back in. As he shoved the candy, he peered at the person's feet. They had on a mustard brown pair of loafers. As his eyes gradually moved up, Charlie realized the person was wearing a scarecrow costume. Charlie could hear Michael and Ever breathing hard behind him. The person held a tarnished bucket full of candy, a heaping pile of M&Ms, Reese's, and other chocolate bars. Charlie peered up at the scarecrow, who took up most of the doorframe. The sound of a TV droning in the background could be heard. The scarecrow shook the bucket at him. Slowly, Charlie reached in and grabbed a fistful of candy. He stepped away to let Michael and Ever reach in. They shuffled forward and, while reaching in, stared at the scarecrow. It stood as if it were hung up on a pole, watching over a field of corn. Charlie couldn't tell if he was staring back, since it wore a bag over its face with painted eyes, nose, and mouth. Charlie muttered a thank you and quickly descended the steps, the boys following after him. He glanced back and noticed that the scarecrow was still standing there watching them. Charlie increased his footsteps.
"That was so creepy," Ever said, looking into his pumpkin bucket.
"Yeah, what was that about? He didn't even say anything," Michael said.
"Maybe he can't. That costume probably doesn't let him talk,"
Charlie suggested.
Michael pulled out his phone. "It's almost 9:45. We probably should head back now. My mom would ground me if I didn't make it back by 10, he said. Ever pulled out his phone too.
"Man, there's hardly a signal out here."
"We only got 3 more houses to go. We can do them fast and get back in time, all right?" Charlie said.
Ever shrugged and dropped his phone back into his bright green overalls pocket. Michael nodded. The second house had a similar bungalow style as the first one, but had patio seats and a better porch light. Charlie knocked on the door, pushing a memory of the scarecrow behind him. Muffled voices could be heard, then footsteps reaching up to the door. The doorknob turned slowly. The person holding the door open had a scarecrow costume on. Charlie stared as he recognized the shoes, the pants with the holes, the straw hat, and the baggy mask. The person had the same silver bucket with the candy bars, too. Charlie could hear Michael starting to mumble something. There was something different. Behind the scarecrow was another person. They were dressed as a farmer with denim overalls, flannel shirt, wide-brimmed hat, and a plastic mask covering their face. Charlie could feel Michael and Ever leaning behind him to look. He wasn't paying much attention to the farmer costume, but what they held in their hands, a gleaming pitchfork. It glistened as if it was sharpened and oiled. The scarecrow shook the bucket at them. The boys shoved their hands at the same time into the bucket, muttered their gratitudes, and dashed down the porch steps. They hid behind an abandoned tent, which lay in a crumbled heap close to the ramp wall. Charlie saw the door closing to the house.
"They must have had a sale of those scarecrow costumes at the Halloween shop," Ever said.
"I don't like this, man. This is getting too weird. I say we should go," Michael said. Charlie nodded. Before they left the security of the broken tent, Charlie peered at each of the houses. Choosing to walk on the other side,
Keeping the houses they visited on the other side of them, they sped up the street. A door creaked open. The boys stopped in front of the house, and they glanced over. The door stood open, and in the doorway was a person in a scarecrow costume with a bucket of candy in their hands. The scarecrow shook the bucket at them. Charlie shook his head and began pushing at Michael and Ever. They ran, heading to the cross street. The clunk of candy in a bucket drew his attention to the other houses. The first scarecrow stood on the sidewalk with his hand outstretched with a bucket, and next door, the scarecrow and the farmer with the pitchfork stood on the street. As he returned his gaze, he almost collided with another scarecrow that stood in front of the last house. Michael and Ever had run past. Using his skills as a football player, he twirled with his bucket of candy clutched in his arms and skirted away. Michael and Ever had paused to look for Charlie.
"Go, go, go,"
Charlie said, nudging them with his shoulders. They kept running as they went down the cross street. Charlie's lungs burned as he tried to run and hold on to his pumpkin. Michael stopped, then Ever and Charlie. Gradually, they stood up, and Charlie glanced over the picket fence of the house they stood in front of and saw a scarecrow sitting up high on a pole. He screamed, which prompted the others to, and they took off towards the other houses, their candy jostling out of their pumpkins. Anthony stared across the bustling street towards the old man sitting on the bus bench at the edge of the park. The man wore wrinkle-free trousers and a button-down top with a fedora resting on the top of his thinning hair. On the man's lap was a small dirty duffel bag, which he rested his hands upon. Anthony frowned and thought of what could possibly be in the bag. It became a routine. Anthony would watch the man walk to the bus bench and slowly sit, and he would sit there for 2 hours. This Anthony had kept track of. Buses would stop at the bench, and the man would neither acknowledge nor enter any of them.
"Are we gonna do this?"
Anthony's cousin Rico asked. He leaned on the graffitied wall with his bike. His baggy jeans and large t-shirt hung loosely in his thin frame.
"Yeah, man. I'm just waiting for him to get going. It's just about that time that he gets up to go,"
Anthony said, rolling his bike back and forth underneath him. Across the street, the old man got up, holding on to the metal armrest for support. He shifted the duffel bag to rest on the crook of his left arm and began to shuffle along the sidewalk. Anthony placed a foot on one of his bike's pedals. As he leaned on the bike, he pulled up his jeans. The man had turned a corner, the duffel bag swinging slightly.
"Come on, let's go,"
Anthony said. The two of them pedaled across the street, weaving in between cars, who honked and swore out their car windows. Anthony paid no mind. His sight was on the duffel bag. He imagined trading whatever was in the bag for cash at the pawn shop. Rico had wanted half of what was taken, but Anthony had pointed out that it was his idea. With what was left, Anthony planned on purchasing a PS5 and a few games. He saw himself spending the rest of the summer playing and ignoring his drunk father, who always found something to blame him for. Entering a littered alleyway, Anthony and Rico followed the old man. The man never once looked back. Anthony wondered if the old man was partially deaf. It gave him the courage to get closer. Rico was pedaling a few inches behind him, his bike making a dull metallic thunk. Anthony glanced back and with his hand motioned for him to pedal on the other side of the man. Rico frowned. Anthony hoped that he had understood him. Anthony swung his bike to the left and lowered his chest to the handlebars. Stretching his right arm out, his fingers twitched towards the duffel bag. His middle finger and then his index finger touched the straps. Then his hand gripped and pulled. The old man yelped and swayed. Then he cried out.
"Did he say my Velma?"
Anthony wondered. Anthony glanced back as the old man toppled over onto Rico, who pulled his arm up to cushion his fall onto the backside of someone's garage door. Pumping his legs, Anthony sped out of the alleyway with Rico calling out to him. Making his way to a deserted open space not too far from his house, Anthony adjusted the duffel bag. It weighed more than he expected. He imagined it being worth much more than the PS5 if it was heavy. Pedaling into the sparsely wooded area, he hoped that it would give him enough coverage to hide. Hopping off the bike, Anthony let it crash to the ground. He crouched down and slid the duffel bag off his arm. He noticed the dark blue duffel bag had a broken zipper pull. The old man had replaced it with a paper clip. Anthony pulled at the zipper, which caught a few times before it slid open. The stench pushed Anthony onto his bottom. He covered his nose with the back of his arm. The chemical burned his nostrils. It reminded him of being in his uncle's funeral home. Gradually, Anthony peeled open the duffel bag and stared inside. The object was mottled and droopy with a paleness like the waning moon. The nose poked out through the stringy brown hair. Its eyes were shut tight. A purple swollen tongue inched out of its thin lips. Anthony scrambled to his feet and ran, leaving the duffel bag and bike behind. Thank you for listening to the Chillingly Bizarre podcast. For bonus content, check out chillinglybizarre.com. This was part 1 and part 2 of the Halloween edition, titled The Tricked Treaters and the Duffel Bag, and they were written by JDW. The episodes were narrated by JDW. All characters were voiced by JDW. Credits go to freesound.org and its following contributors: Acrobur, Starbolt, Eric H2000, Kostrava, Short Record, James Bradford, Mr. Rat for Food, Mandaki, Electra, Ye Dog Go, Joan Aglix, Growler Music, Teehee Tummy Tums, Free to Use Sounds, Ivansky, Magmi Soundtracks, Stib, Volvion, and Mudfleet 2. Please leave a review on the Spotify app or anywhere else you listen to the podcast.